Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. My minions, you have stumbled across the number one internet sports talk show, as well as on our affiliates, your phone. Anywhere you're hearing this right now, my minions, you have stumbled upon the one source where you can be totally informed and engulf yourself with everything sports. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. It is time for today's episode of The Balance. We've got a great show planned for you, of course. Would you expect anything different? Coming off here, right up here at the top of the hour, we've got Mr. Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk. We're going to be talking some racing, everything that's going on in the racing community. I'm going to be talking about some news about the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and some other things going on in the NHRA and NASCAR as well. And then, of course, we've got College Saturday. We're going to be breaking down all the college hoops, what's going on today in college basketball, and what it's going to look like coming up in the month of March. Obviously, we got some NFL to talk about as well. Dwight Freeney, Austin Collie released from the Indianapolis Colts. We're going to talk to that and the impact that Freeney leaving the Indianapolis Colts will have. As well, we're going to break down our MLB spring training Citrus League today. We're going to be talking about those St. Louis Cardinals and a lot of other teams down there in Florida and what this season is going to, how it's going to turn out and pan out to be. 917-889-8516 is my digits. Join the show. Join the conversation at any time. 917-889-8516, or follow us on our social media. We are a mecca in the social media. I'll tell you what, you guys do not understand how much greatness you're in by being a part of this show. We appreciate it. You make everything happen for us, and we're so glad that you're with us today on a Saturday morning, Saturday after Valentine's Day. I hope everybody had a good Valentine's Day, got their lovers and pets and all that what they were supposed to get them. But coming right around the corner, Mr. Cliff Tanner, our Valentine for the show this week. Well, we're going to be talking about everything that's going on right here in the world of racing, and we've got a lot to get to. So stay right there. We'll be right back. Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley, Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. a distributor for all major suppliers. We can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Optimus Prime, and I send this message to any surviving Autobots taking refuge among the stars. We are here. We are waiting.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Welcome back to the number one internet sports talk show in the world. It's Saturday morning. It's 9 a.m. Got your coffee, got your yogurt, got your bagel, and then, or in the case of Mr. Cliff Tanner, got your dozen Dunkin' Donuts and Dunkin' Donut holes there. Mr. Cliff Tanner, how you doing, sir?
Valentine, really? Come on, man.
Man, you're our Valentine, buddy. Brother. Come on, man. Did you get our chocolates? So let me ask you this. What did you and Danica do for Valentine's Day?
Oh, man, you know, Danica's out, baby. I'm going for Betty White.
Betty White, huh? Yeah, I'll tell you what, she's off her rocker. So we'll get into that discussion another day. But I tell you what, I wanted to talk with you a lot. We got a lot of stuff on racing. Obviously, we're gearing up here for the start at NHRA and the Daytona 500 right around the corner. Obviously, the O'Reilly NHRA Winter Nationals out there in Pomona, California have kicked off and underway. First of all, let's talk a little bit about that. We'll get into some of this other stuff with the Indianapolis 500 and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Break it down. What's happened out there in Pomona this week?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's been an interesting one so far. I guess we can start with the top fuel. Tony Schumacher has taken the top spot in that so far. And you want to talk about Brittany Force. She's actually qualified for the finals here, or the final countdown coming up, sitting at number 12, which I think is pretty good considering that's her first shot now. But them Force girls, I don't know. But you got Brandon Bernstein and Antoine Brown going. And I know that you guys have talked about, but I don't know if you heard that Spencer Mansey is back in the top fuel with the Schumacher Racing. And he's not doing so well this time so far. As he hasn't qualified yet. So, you know, you take a look at that. It's kind of an interesting way to go. But, you know, again, the Schumacher crew is right there again. And I love Tony the Sarge, man. I made a prediction that he's going to win it this year, and I would love to see him win another one. So looking pretty good there. And going down as far as a funny car, Jack Beckman picking up where he left off. And Courtney Force, your favorite, Tom, is sitting in third. But what's really amazing is the other two Force cars, John Force and Robert Height, have not qualified yet. So that's kind of interesting there. And then if you get down into the pro stock, Mike Edwards is sitting up there. And defending champ, Alan Johnson, is way off the charts. He's the slowest car of the weekend so far. So, you know, pretty good start to where it goes. And, man, Courtney Force has just really impressed me. Brittany Force is doing a good job. And I'm looking forward to seeing how she's going to do in her first go-round, so to speak.
Well, absolutely, and obviously we're going into the second day of qualifying out there in Pomona, California, and you mentioned rookie Brittany Force. She put Thursday struggles in the past and drove her Castrol.
Castrol, gotcha.
The Castrol top field dragster to the provisional number 12 spot on Friday at the 53rd annual O'Reilly NHRA Winter Nationals. Yesterday's miscue with the brakes kept Force from making her first run when her 8,000 horsepower, you know, put that in perspective, and I don't know if you've seen the publicity photos of Brittany, but 8,000 horsepowers, dude, that's a big car for a little girl.
you ain't kidding, man. You want to talk about some serious G-forces going on in your head going backwards, I'm telling you. You know, but apparently she must be doing pretty good at it. She got her license. So, you know, I think she's just going to keep improving. And, you know, we may see a year from her like we saw from Courtney last year at the top or the funny car. So it'll be interesting. She's a force, man. You know, she knows how to drive.
Absolutely. She comes about it naturally. Well, let's talk about some of the other stuff going on out there in Pomona. Obviously, we know there's other drivers other than the Forrest family. You wouldn't think so, but there are other drivers out there, the Forrest family. So if you can kind of just break us down what's happening in the rest of the series there and who to look for and what are some of the X factors out there in Pomona as we kick off the 2013 NHRA season.
Well, let's go with the funny car. You know, let's talk about Dale Worsham. I don't know if you remember you folks out there, but he actually won 2 years ago at the Top Fuel, retired to become a crew chief for Alexis DeGiorgio. Man, I can't ever say her name right. I don't know why. But he jumps into the funny car and picks up almost where he left off. He's sitting down there at number seven. But, you know, Ron Capps is sitting down there at number eight. But Ron Capps is going to be a guy to look out for this year in the funny car. You got Jack Beckman and him. And Courtney, I think, might be a little bit up there. But, you know, and Bob Kafka is another guy I think is coming around. And he's getting up there. And I'll tell you what, you want to talk about a guy that's got a lot of enthusiasm, man. I'm telling you what, he is so hard to calm down. I've interviewed him and Kenny Wallace, and I was making a statement the other day that, you know, Kenny Wallace can talk and talk and talk, but as far as the juice and the excitement, I think Pop Kafka pulls everybody away. But he's another guy to look out for. We'll go down to Pro Stock a little bit. Vincent Gaines is there. Erica Enders is there. Jason Lye, not defending champ, but also a champ. Vincent Nobile, those guys are in the top five. So those are the guys you got to watch out for. Roger Brogdon. And again, don't count Alan Johnson out, even though he was the slowest car during qualifying. I think he's going to come up there. And then you go to the Top Fuel, you know, Brandon Bernstein, Antron Brown, Doug Coletta. One guy that really surprised me sitting at number five, and again, this is just qualified, so you can't get too excited, but Khalid Alabushi, who last year was a rookie and had all kinds of issues, he comes in and qualifies number five so far. He could be a guy to look out for. Vandergriff, Morgan Lucas, Spencer Massey, those are guys you got to look for. Larry Dixon's going to be another one. But I think the Schumacher Racing is going to run away with this one again, and I would like to see it be the Sarge. That's kind of a breakdown of what's going on so far.
Well, absolutely. You know, you mentioned Ron Capps, and what a great story he is. He certainly knows the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. If you look at last season, was unlike he experienced in his storied career. Ron lost the title by a mere 2 points to teammate Jack Beckman. And we had an opportunity to meet Jack and talk with him, love everything that he's doing. But hopefully Ron Capps can put it together. This was the you know, really, a lot of people like Ron Capps. A lot of people like watching him, and he's certainly a fan favorite in the social media world. And I really think Ron Capps has a good opportunity to put things together there, Cliff.
I think you're right. And you know, even though I think Jack, I think I predicted Jack to win it again this year, but Ron Capps is going to be a close second, and I would love to see him do it. And you're right, he's a great guy to interview, he's a great guy to talk to, and he's very, very competitive, and he don't like losing. And that was a shame that he, you know, lost it by a mere 2 points because, you know, he could make that last run. But, man, I'm telling you what, he is a guy to watch out for, definitely Ron Capps. And he deserves it. You know, he really does. And I would like to see him. And you talk about agony and defeat for that guy. You ain't kidding. He's been through it all more than once in his career.
Well, absolutely. And another guy to look out for. And again, I think one of the favorites and certainly one of the ones that people like to watch, and that's Brandon Bernstein. And he continued his momentum from his win in last year's season finale by racing to the qualifying lead in the Top Fuel Thursday at the O'Reilly Auto Parts NHRA Winter Nationals. They got to shorten these names, dude. They really.
Yeah.
I mean, I lose my breath, man, trying to get through the entire name. No. Again, presented by Superstar Batteries. We want to make sure we get everybody in there. Wow. Why don't we just call it Pomona NHRA? Well, obviously, you look at those guys out there, but when you look at Brandon Bernstein, what are some of the things he has to do this season? I think that he's got a lot of the key components to make it happen, and he's off to a good start. But what are some of the things we can look at from him this year?
Well, I'll tell you what, Brandon is going to be a superstar as his career comes along. But his biggest thing last year is I think he got let things get in his head a little bit too much. And he's got the equipment. He's got the people surrounded for him. If he could keep his head straight, he is going to be in the top five. And I see great things coming from him. But he's just one of those guys that's just going to get better. He just needs to learn the ropes. And you know, I mean, sit here at number two. He was number one yesterday, or the day before, at qualifying in the fastest run. So he's got the tools, and he's got the way to do it. It's all him, man. I mean, and that's part of this whole drag racing NHRA thing going on for all of them. It's all in the head. It's all in the way you get started. And God knows, your reflexes got to be right. And if you jump the line, you're disqualified automatically. And we've seen a lot of that happen last year, and he did that a couple times himself. If he can get his head together, he's going to be a real big force in the top field this year.
We always got to be talking about force, right? Well, I tell you, I do want to talk about John Force, and then we need to get on to some of the other topics here. But John Force, 63 years old, ready to jump in the saddle again. And I tell you what, after listening to that conference call last week with John Force on that, at 63 years old, you would think he was 23, Cliff.
Oh, my God, there's another guy that has a lot of energy. I mean, you saw that. We interviewed him last year together.
Sure.
So. Sure. Yeah, he's given up some of his responsibilities to Robert Height, who is also a son-in-law, who's now the president, trying to loosen himself up for the run. And I have said that I think John Force is going to try to make this his last run. I mean, he brought Mike Neff back in as his crew chief, and that's when he was his crew chief when he won the last championship, if I remember right. So I think he's going to get it going, but I've got a feeling, and this is just a gut feeling, and I could be way off base, but I got a feeling he's going to run this last year, and Ashley's coming back next year in that car. So, the guy is just amazing, but I think it's almost time for him to hang it up. I hate to say that, but I love his energy and all that, but you could tell the last 3 or 4 years he's really lost some timing.
I do agree with that, and I don't know how much more that he has left in him. But I think certainly he's going to be one of those guys that go out at the top of his game. I would think so, but you are right. I think he's kind of missing his timing a little bit, but he's 63 years old, and I tell you what, he's more healthier than most 63-year-olds out there.
When it comes to that, but when reflexes is real important in this game, and that's hard. He makes me look sad, and I'm only 50, so.
50 years old, huh?
Yeah.
Half a century, dude. A half a century.
No, I know. Thanks a lot, dude. Yeah.
Hey, man, you know what? I'm right on your tails, brother, at 44. I feel it. Some mornings I get up and I'm like, geez, man, it takes me a little bit to get going. Let's talk about the Indianapolis 500 and the Indianapolis Speedway, and maybe a story that a lot of people aren't following or haven't heard much of, and that's the fact that, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway could enjoy the benefits of being a tax zone, if you will. And by the way, I just thought of this. Didn't you just have a birthday just like last week or something?
Yeah, last week, yes. Nope.
All right. Well, I apologize for that. That's the beauty of Skype. And sometimes when Skype goes down, it goes down. Are you with us, Cliff?
Yeah, I'm still with you, buddy.
I have no idea. We are in the process of rebooting our system, so I do apologize for that. And we got cut off there, right there, right when I said you had a birthday. Everything just went dead on us. So if you can kind of recap a little bit, basically what's happening out here at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, they're actually getting and asking for some tax revenue money, and maybe this isn't a story that a lot of people are following up on or even knew about. But can you kind of give us an update on that and what that means exactly?
Well, basically what it is, and you know, I mean, you look at it no matter where you're at. You know, when new teams want to come in or move or build a new stadium, you know, it's always tax revenue. But I think this is kind of interesting with the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. First of all, they get fined, and they've got to make some changes to go for the challenge of handicap. And you know, they got to fix that. Then they decide with that, why not go and make, you know, $70 million of repairs to everything, put in new, scoreboards and everything else in there. And, you know, as always, they're going to go and try. So, that you know, a representative from Indianapolis decides to take a bill to the House to try to make it so that the taxpayers are going to help pay for this, which I understand that that's going to happen. But it almost seems like you said, Tom, it doesn't really seem like that's real big news. And I don't think a lot of people realize this because everything's been kind of buried and going back. But and I don't mind that, you know, maybe they have to raise taxes to get some of it taken care of. I understand all that. But I also know the game that they played up here with the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum. And when they expanded that and they put a 1 cent tax on all the restaurants around here, and then that was supposed to stop as soon as everything was paid for. Well, 20 years later, we're still paying that one penny tax extra on food up here. And it's going to happen, and everybody knows it's going to happen. But I just think that they doing a good job of trying to hide it, almost like they don't want anybody to fight what's going on down there. Hello?
The Indianapolis 500 is the granddaddy of them all. We do have the Colts, the Pacers, the Fever, that sort of thing. But really, the Indianapolis 500, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is going to get their money. And I tell you, we look at what they're considering doing with this. Indianapolis Motor Speedway would consider moving NASCAR sprint car race to Saturday night event if the track receives the $100 million from the state capital improvements that it could include adding lights. So that is a huge thing, especially when you look at the history of Indianapolis Motor Speedway. To have lights in the track really could do a lot, especially when you look at with the Indianapolis 500, for example. You know, many times we ran up against weather, and maybe they had to have the track dry at 4 o'clock. But with lights, perhaps maybe there's the possibility that, you know, we wouldn't make race fans hang around one other day. So what are your thoughts on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway using $100 million to put lights in their stadium? I mean, track, I apologize.
Well, I think it's a great idea. You know, I have to say I've become more and more of a fan of nighttime racing anywhere. And a lot of tracks are starting to put lights in. Chicago put lights in. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of places that are putting lights in. Michigan's talked about doing that. So I think it's great, and it would be cool to see that. But it also, like you said, that would stop would help stop, and not necessarily guarantee, because we saw what happened at Daytona last year. But if they had lights, we could get the race run on the same day as far as Indianapolis 500 goes. So I think it's a great idea that they want to put lights in. But, you know, again, it remains to be seen, but it would be cool to see a night race at Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Right, absolutely. I think it'd be interesting to just see. I think certainly would add it to what a lot of other tracks have already done with night racing. But there's a lot of the the old sea dogs, if you will, and race fans that say that lights don't belong in racing, and they certainly don't belong at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. What say to people who are opposed to that?
Well, that's what they said about Wrigley Field, too, and look what's going on there. But, you know, and another good thing is, you know, you look at a night race, there's a good possibility Indianapolis could end up getting a second NASCAR race out of it, too, you know, because there's a lot of tracks, or not a lot, there's a few tracks that have two races, and one's a daytime, one's a nighttime. So, you know, who knows? I mean, it opens up a lot of possibilities for Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and it also could bring a lot more money in Indianapolis itself. So I think it's a great idea.
Well, we look forward to the Daytona 500, which is just right around the corner. What's going on in the NASCAR world? We haven't talked about NASCAR in the last couple of weeks, but what's going on in the world of NASCAR as we gear up for the Daytona 500?
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on in NASCAR, you know, as far as the Daytona goes. First of all, let's talk about ARCA real quick. You may remember the name Milka Duno. She has actually raced ARCA. This is her second year full-time. This year she's with Venturini Motorsports as a full-time rider. I was kind of surprised by that, but Venturini Motorsports does good on ARCA anyway. But that race is today. But Milka Duno got the second spot, but Venturini swept the top two spots because John West Townley also took the pole. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going on. Obviously, that's going to kick it off real good. And then a little bit later, you get the Sprint Unlimited, which I still have some serious issues with letting the fans vote for that. But that's a whole other topic. But I'm telling you, Tom, this new Gen 6 car, I'm looking forward to it in a lot of ways because it's going to put the race back in the driver's hands more so than the crew chief. It's not going to be so much a Jets game anymore. I'm looking forward to that. But I got to tell you, yesterday in the first practice, Matt Kenseth comes down on Kurt Busch, and there's a six-car melee, six laps into practice. I got a feeling that Daytona may be a crash fest more so than a race this year because some of the guys listening to what they were saying, Joey Logano said it best, it's like driving an ARCA car because there's like a bubble between the back of the one car and the front of the other car, and they showed it that it comes down a little bit lower. So it's going to be hard to do some bump drafting, but those guys are having a hard time trying to get used to that car. So, you know, I guess tonight's going to tell in the Sprint Unlimited, and then, of course, we got the duels coming up on Thursday for qualifying. But it kind of reminds me what we're seeing is a little bit when Daytona first repaved and they went to 2x2 racing, and that race that Trevor Bayne won, there was a lot of problems there controlling the car and blowing engines and keep it cool and all that. So I hope it doesn't turn out that way. I hope with the practice and everything going on that they get that under control. But I'm telling you, they've been having some issues, bud.
Now, Cliff, do you think that this new 2013 car is going to do more to help race fans, but do you also think that it's also going to I guess what I'm saying is, do you think it's going to be more problematic as they get their adjustments made and they're going to have to learn the facts as they go? Or do you think that this is a very, very good thing for the car and the drivers themselves?
Oh, I think it's a great thing for them. Again, like I said, you know, it's putting the driving back into the driver, not so much the crew chief. I mean, obviously, you got to get the car ready and all that. But it's going to take more talent to win some races. And I think the only problem they're going to have is right now sitting in the Daytona, you know, because we're so used to seeing the pack racing, the driving. It's one of the super speedways. We've got a lot of speed going. I think once they get out of Daytona, before they hit the next super speedway, they'll have it figured out. But after that, when you go to Phoenix and some of those other tracks, the mile and a half tracks, I think it's going to make more exciting racing. At least I hope it does. And I hope we see a lot less fuel mileage races this year. You know, if that car is going to be as good as I think it is, I think we're going to have some real exciting racing. And we're going to have a great points race, I believe.
Well, absolutely, and we're really excited about it. I wish we had more time to talk about this. I know you said you could only hang around for half an hour. We do have to take a break, guys. I think we got all of our system rebooted. So when we get back from our break, I think everything will be back to normal here. But What's going on Radio Street Talk this week, and what can people find out with your show, and where can people find your work and your masterpieces, sir?
Well, you can go to RadioSpeedTalk.com. You can check your local affiliates. We're on Facebook.com/RadioSpeedTalk. You can catch me on Twitter at RadioSpeedTalk2. This week we actually talked and broke down what's going to happen with ARCA this year, and we broke down the Campy World Truck Series and made our predictions. And poor Kenny, he's already given me some crap because the guy he picked to win it all decided to sign a full-time NASCAR or a nationwide ride this year in also Piquet Jr. So we're going to be arguing about that this coming week. But, yeah, we broke it down and made our predictions and, just had a good time and just talked about racing all the way through.
All right, Radio Speed Talk. You can absolutely hear Radio Speed Talk here on the Balance Radio Network as well. Well, sir, we're going to let you go. We're going to jump into college hoops. We're going to take a break, and we get back. Preston Barr standing by in the wings to talk some college hoops with us. And Cliff, as always, it's a pleasure, and we'll catch you next week, sir.
All right, Tom. Really appreciate you being on, man. Well, thanks a lot, buddy.
Sure, anytime. Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk joining us today on a Saturday morning as usual. The guys from over at Radio Speed Talk jump in and talk some races. We're going to take a break, get back. I think we'll have everything back to normal now, all of our gremlins out of our system, and we'll be right back right here on the Balance of the Network.
Time you take a sip in this smoky atmosphere, you press that bottle to your lips, and I wish I was your beer.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Alright, my minions, welcome back to the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. And so glad that you guys could bear witness a little bit through our technical difficulties that we were having. I think we've got everything rebooted and back up and ready to go. But joining us now is Mr. Preston Barr. Sir, how you doing? How's it going out there in the Kansas Jayhawk land?
It is going fantastic. Thanks for asking. Got a huge snowfall last night for like 30 minutes, and then It's tough. College game day is here right now. Unfortunately, I can't be at it.
Well, I that's right. College game day is there. That's pretty huge. Pretty huge,
yeah,
brother.
What'd you say?
I said pretty huge. And why aren't you going to be able to make it, sir? You got all kinds of studying to do. And
yeah, unfortunately, I have 4 tests and a project next week, and I have to work at 9, which is when college game day is.
And it sounds like you're losing your voice, too, so we'll try to go super easy on you, that's for sure. Well, one game I want to talk with you a little bit about, and then we're going to move over to your division as well. But obviously, we've got the Big Ten. Big game today, Purdue against IU. IU is just total domination in the Big Ten and in the country, for that matter. Can Purdue stop IU today?
Not a chance. They're playing at Indiana, and Purdue is going to get walloped today. And I think they got a chance to fight and keep it decently close at times, but Indiana's going to run away with it.
Are you still with us there?
Yeah, I am. I think Indiana's going to run away with it. Purdue has a chance to keep it sort of close, but Indiana's just going to roll today.
Well, I tell you what, IU has just really put it together this year. Obviously, when you've got big guys like Cody Zeller, I tell you, he is just on fire. When you can add an experienced rebounder like him, and you just look at the whole squad and what they've been able to do, it's pretty easy to see why Indiana University is where they're at. But what are some of the key things that Purdue has to do, as we have seen here recently, especially in the second half? IU does struggle.
I mean, Purdue's got to come out in both halves just running, and they got to keep up with Indiana, because I don't think there's a team in the country that can run as well as Indiana can with their new player of the year candidate. He seemed to pop out of nowhere. No one really recognized him until the past, like, 2 or 3 weeks. Victor Oladipo can run and dunk, and he does everything. He averages, like, 7 boards a game, 2 steals a game. I mean, he is everywhere. So they really have to make an effort to keep the defender in front of them and not get on their heels in transition.
Well, absolutely, and like I just mentioned, IU has just dominated all of its opponents in almost every aspect of the game while cruising, but they're just getting some lopsided wins, and I guess that's what concerns me most about IU when it comes to games like that. Now, again, when we talk about IU and Purdue, and I know you're from this neck of the woods, you know that all the records go out the door if you want when IU plays Purdue. So anything really can happen when IU plays Purdue. But, you know, I tell you what, again, we keep talking about Cody Zeller. But you also got to look at Oladipo and Farrell as well with IU. Johnson is no slouch himself, if you will, when it comes to the Purdue squad as well. So, you know, it's going to be an exciting game, IU-Purdue. Any predictions on the scores? It's going to be a blowout.
I predict 89-74.
So if you're at 90-75, would you still be happy?
Oh, yeah. 15-point difference. 15-point difference.
Absolutely. Well, I do want to go through some of our games of the week, if you will. And you mentioned that, and I was trying to get that game pulled up here, right here, as we're talking here. I tell you what, we've had so many difficulties this morning, and it always happens, and nothing never seems to happen when it's supposed to happen. But College Game Day, ESPN out there today, talk to us about the big game out there. Texas, Kansas, obviously huge game. You guys are coming in 20-4, 8-3 in the Big 12, and Texas at 11-13-3-8 in the Big 12. So obviously huge game. But Kansas, Texas, College Game Day out there today. Talk to us about Jayhawk Nation today's game.
Well, after our 3-game skid, we finally got back on track with a huge win over K-State, who was ranked higher than us. However, we struggled to beat Texas the first time around this season in Austin really hard. We had to make a big fourth quarter comeback just to beat them, and they're sitting in the bottom half of the Big 12. But one big game changer this game, they have their point guard back, Mick Kabongo, who was suspended 23 games for accepting airfare and whatnot, and he is their star player, averages like 5.5 assists a game, 10 points a game. But he really facilitates their offense, and they had no true point guard until he came back. And some would argue that Kansas doesn't have a point guard right now. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens, how well Kabunga's defended, how well he plays. He hasn't played a game this year because he's been suspended. So it ought to be interesting. I'm excited to watch him play. I got pretty decent seats today, so I'll be at the game. I'll be cheering for my Jayhawks. It should be an interesting game, that's for sure.
Well, absolutely. It's going to be a great game. And let's talk a little bit about that motivational speech that Coach Self gave to the Kansas Jayhawk squad. He wasn't very happy, and he didn't care who knew it. So do you think that his little, what we'll call it, the motivational speech of the week a couple weeks ago, you think that maybe lit a fire underneath them, or do you think that they're just playing better basketball?
I think it lit a fire underneath them. I think it motivated them. They were playing so incredibly flat. No one was attacking the basket. No one was, posting up strong down low. The defenders were able to tip everything away. No one would run and transition. It was just a really slow-moving team for three games, and we lost to the lowest team in the Big 12, TCU, and I think that was evident that we were just not all there. So when he had his motivational speech slash tirade, I think it really woke the guys up, and as you can see in the K-State game, they came out blazing, and Ben McLemore was aggressive and hungry, and he took a lot more shots than he usually does, and he scored 30 points.
Well, I'll tell you what, you look at Kansas City, Kansas State, you talk about them, obviously tied with Kansas State at number 17, Oklahoma, atop the Big 12. The Jayhawks really can't afford a letdown against Texas today, who come in 11-13 and 3-8 with sole possession of its first place possibility up for grabs as well. When Kansas State goes and plays Oklahoma State against the Cowboys, the Longhorns come to town with one win in 11 road games this series. But that 74-63 victory back on January 22nd, 2011, ended the Jayhawks' 69-game run at home. So this is going to be a huge impact for Kansas Jayhawks if they aren't able to pull off a win against Texas.
I have to say that people still remember, and people are incredibly bitter here in Jayhawk Nation, that Texas did end our 69-game winning streak. And they will never forget that. And they are always passionate at games and excited to cheer for the Jayhawks. So today will be more than packed and more than rowdy. So I think the crowd will keep the Jayhawks up and energetic today.
All right, well, let's move on over to our other game of the week. Over there in the ACC, obviously number two, Duke taking on Maryland. Duke 22-2, obviously one of the top teams that's up against IU for that number one spot, and always trying to be right there to take the number one spot. Obviously going against Maryland, 17-7 and 5-6 in the ACC. Is this a Duke game, or what are some of the X factors in this game? While Duke's six-game winning streak began with an easy victory over Maryland 3 weeks ago, it has since encountered a few very close calls. So Maryland could pull this off today.
I think we talked about this 6 weeks ago, and we said every time Duke and Maryland meet, it's a good game. And I think since it's in Maryland this time, it's going to be an even better game. I think Duke seems just as well put together as IU, but they have that one factor of like vulnerability, and I don't know what it is. Sometimes their jump shooting's off. When they got destroyed by Miami, they just looked more than flat. I don't know. I think they're going to come out guns a-blazing, but so is Maryland. And I think that today could be a really good game. Unfortunately, I think the Duke's going to win. I would love to see an upset, but I think Duke is too strong down low, and Plumlee's just going to continue to roll and rebound.
Well, absolutely. And you know, here's the thing. The Blue Devils really have a history of dominating the Terrapins anyway. And I think they've had plenty of time to prepare for today's showdown. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of key factors in it, but I just can't see Duke letting Maryland go away with a win today. And, you know, I just don't know that Maryland's good enough to beat Duke. But, you know, they certainly, Duke, a lot of people I thought wasn't good enough to beat Duke have turned around and really played Duke well or beat Duke. So,
yeah, I mean, you look at the North Carolina game earlier this week, and a team that's on the bubble and flat, when they played Duke at Cameron Indoor Stadium, they gave them a run for their money. Duke was nervous, and a lot of people wouldn't consider North Carolina a great team this year. They're young. But, yeah, I think that people have caught me off guard when playing Duke this year, and I think Maryland might do that today.
Well, it'll be an interesting win, and certainly IU fans will not be disappointed at all with a Maryland win, as it just puts them a little bit further back and a little bit more breathing room, because God forbid Purdue beats IU today and Maryland and Duke beats Maryland. God forbid. We don't even want to talk about that.
Given this season, I wouldn't be surprised. This season has just been no one knows who's actually number one. Everyone's losing to the weirdest people. It's been a weird season.
It's been a very different season, I'll put it that way. Well, we move on over to the West Coast Conference, and Gonzaga is in prime position today to recapture the West Coast Conference title, but still appear to have at least a couple more hurdles in its way. And obviously the fifth-ranked Bulldogs will try to clear the first one of those today by ending their three-game road game losing streak when they come up against San Francisco today. Now, Gonzaga had its run of 11 consecutive West Coast titles snapped last season by St. Mary's. You remember St. Mary's last year, Preston? I love talking about these teams a year later. It's like, where are they at now? But St. Mary's was on a tear last year in March.
St. Mary's got a scorer this year. I watched a bit of the game a couple days ago that Gonzaga played St. Mary's. And I don't know where they came from last year. They're not killing it this year, but they got one guy that can really score. And I think Gonzaga's is going to clinch this year. They're just such a great team. The West Coast Conference, I think, is theirs to lose this year, really. I mean, they could fizzle out the rest of the season, but I think that they're going to just run away with it, honestly. They have 2 7-footers and a fantastic point guard who can shoot like no other.
Absolutely, absolutely. And here's the thing. I mean, San Francisco is 3-20 in the last 23 games against top 25 teams, with all of those victories coming in home games versus Gonzaga. So the only time the Dons faced a top five Bulldog squad was 75-72 road loss back in 2006. So this should be an interesting game, but I agree with you. I think Gonzaga takes this game. I will say relatively easy, but we'll take it. Another good game on the schedule today, Syracuse, number six, obviously, ranked number six, 8-3 in the Big East, and 20-4 overall, take on a good Seton Hall squad, actually, 13-12 and 2-10 in the Big East. And you look at that 2-10 on paper, and you think, well, maybe they're not a good team. But everybody knows that Seton Hall has some good weapons. They just have just been at a struggle, and you know, I think Syracuse is relieved to get back on the court after turning in one of its worst shooting performances of the season. The fact that the Orange are facing, again, we talk about Seton Hall, and it looks like they're going downhill for whatever reason. This might give the Big Orange some comfort, but make no moans about it. Seton Hall is a team that can turn on you in a dime, and they are not and cannot be happy with their recent performance.
I think their recent performance, they can definitely be disappointed. I feel like they should have won some more of their last seven games, but listen to their opponents in the last seven games. Marquette, St. John's, Georgetown, Cincinnati, Pitt, and UConn, all teams that have been ranked, all teams that are competing at a high level now. I think that they can't be all that disappointed with their like losses in the recent schedule, but I really think that they are a team with Edwin, who just scores 17 points a game. They're a team with weapons. I mean, they're a team that should be winning more than they are. And they have a chance to shake up the Big East here and upset Syracuse. And I think that they can do it and probably will do it today. Syracuse has been looking vulnerable.
Well, and I tell you what, Seton Hall is really put a lot of stuff together. I really don't know what has caused them to go downhill and spiral downhill the way they have. But you look at them and you look at Syracuse, I think that Syracuse needs to be on their A game today if they want to beat Syracuse. And, you know, Syracuse is currently on a three-game conference road skid and play at Seton Hall on Saturday since 1996 and 97. The Orange have only lost four-plus straight conference road games twice in 2008 and 2009. The Orange lost five straight conference road games that season. The Orange lost the big conference championship game to Louisville and was the number three seed in the NCAA tournament and lost to Oklahoma back in the Sweet 16, if you remember that. And in 2000 and 2001, Syracuse also lost five straight conference road games. That season, Syracuse lost in the semifinals of the Big East Conference Tournament and was a five seed in the NCAA Tournament and lost to the Kansas Jayhawks in the round of 32. So I don't know that Syracuse can say they have a comfortable win today against Seton Hall.
I don't think so either. And Syracuse, of all the top 10 teams, they're a bend-but-don't-break team, but I think they've broken three times this year for sure in their three losses. And I mean, even UConn upsetting them, they did everything that the scouting report told them to do to break a good zone defense. They got the ball in the middle. They jump shot well. They attacked the basket off ball screens. They drove and dished. If you do what you should do to beat
A good zone defense, then you have a great chance of winning against Syracuse, and I think Seton Hall is disciplined. They have their weapons.
I mean, I think they're poised to upset this team today.
And it's going to be probably one of the biggest upsets of the day. And if we were in March right now, we would be in the middle of it, and that we could say that would be a bracket buster.
Absolutely.
So we could talk about some of the big bracket busters that are going on. Well, let's move on over to the SEC. Obviously, Florida isn't fighting much resistance in the SEC this season, and that certainly has been the case for nearly 13 years when facing Auburn. Obviously, this is always a good matchup. The seventh-ranked Gators will try to avoid overlooking the lowly Tigers to stay atop. Obviously, 20-3. Auburn is 9-15. I think that Florida has all the weapons to make this happen, and to make it happen. And Florida is playing the next two games on the road. And obviously, the Gators host the Razorbacks next Saturday after a two-game trip that includes visits to Auburn and Missouri. So we've got Auburn and Florida today. Thoughts?
My thoughts are Florida is going to come out very inspired. Their loss to Arkansas was embarrassing to say the least. They got whooped by Arkansas, and they are not going to overlook a low-scoring, low-ranked team in the SEC. I think that Florida is going to come out and look as efficient as they always have, and they're probably going to just roll over Auburn today. Even though it's going to be a good game, but they're going to run away with it.
Yeah, and I think I don't know that we have a lot to talk about with that game. I think this is one of those cut and dry games that if Florida comes out and plays a game that they know how to play and just continue to do what they've been able to do, I think that Florida can definitely put that game together. Well, we move back on over to the Big Ten. Michigan State hosts Nebraska. Obviously, number 8 Michigan State's 21-4 and 10-2 in the Big Ten. Obviously, a huge contender in the Big Ten against Nebraska, 12-13 and 3-9 in the Big Ten again. And this is just one of those games that, by the numbers, if Tom Izzo's squad gets out there and plays Michigan State basketball, they should really not have much of an issue against Nebraska Cornhuskers. But, you know, I tell you what, there's been a lot of really good potential with Michigan State this year, and Tom Izzo's got to be happy with the way his team is playing, and they don't have to worry about all the media pressure that IU's getting and so forth. And I think Michigan State is definitely a team to contend with in the Big Ten. But today, I think if they go out there and play Spartan basketball, they'll be okay against the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
I completely agree. I have so much respect for Tom Izzo and his program this year. They beat my Jayhawks at the beginning of the season, and they've fought to lose a couple games, but they have looked in their wins so good. And when they played Michigan this week and just routed them and left with a W, an easy W, that they just destroyed them, I think that Michigan State, when they play Michigan State basketball, is going to be real hard to beat. I think even IU struggled to beat them at home, so I'm interested to see that road game when it comes up, but no, I think Michigan State's got an easy W here today. They're going to play hard. Knicks has been growing and performing well. They're big man down low, so I think it'll be an easy win for them.
Well, we move on back over to the Big 12 there, and we talk about the other Kansas team. Kansas State hosting Baylor today, 16-8, 7-4 in the Big 12, and then 19-5 for Kansas State and 8-3 in the Big 12 as well. We talked a little bit about them a little bit earlier. But Coach Bruce Weber prefers not to dwell on his team's most recent disappointing effort instead of focusing on the fact that Kansas State still has a share of the Big 12 lead. So we look at this game, Baylor-Kansas State today. What are your thoughts?
Baylor has underperformed this entire season. And at the beginning of the season, Pierre Jackson was like in the top 10 for the Player of the Year race. And I don't even think anyone's thought of him or knows who he is anymore. But they have a fantastic point guard, and they have a fantastic center, Baylor does, in Isaiah Austin, who's a seven-footer with goofy goggles that can shoot a three, surprisingly, and he can really stretch the floor. I think that Kansas State has a good center, Henriquez, but I think that this is going to be a well-fought game. I think that Baylor is about to step up in the conference. I wouldn't mind seeing a loss because I'm not a huge fan of K-State, but that's because I'm a Jayhawk. But I'd like to see a really good, well-fought game today. I think the Baylor has just been under-recognized this year, and they've not performed well either. So we'll see. I think it's going to be an interesting game because when Baylor fights, they fight hard, and they really contend in games. So we'll see. I think Magruder's just a fantastic basketball player for K-State, so they're going to have a tough time defending him.
Well, I totally agree with you, but I do. I mean, you look at the Bears squad and you look at what they've been able to do. The Bears, appear really to make a stand and to make a move, if you will. They've posted blowout victories over Texas Tech and West Virginia after losing three straight by a combined 13 points. Wednesday's 80-60 rout of the Mountaineers left Baylor in a position to tie the Wildcats and the Big 12 standing with a victory on Saturday. The Bears have always been a tough team to play. And when they're able to get into the tournament, they're able to come from some of the lower seeds. And we saw what the Baylor Bears have been able to do in the past in March. I'm not entirely sure that Kansas State has a victory today against the Baylor Bears.
I'm not totally convinced yet. I think if Baylor comes out playing the basketball that I know they're capable of, K-State's going to have a tough time keeping up with that. I mean, they have a couple of great scorers in Angel Rodriguez and Rodney Magruder, but I just don't know. I think that Baylor contends so well when they play well, and I think they're going to do that today. And they're going to give Kansas State a run for their money and try and climb back up into the Big 12 standings.
All right, well, we look at another team right here here in Indianapolis, obviously in the A-10, and that's Butler and Fordham. Obviously, Butler coming in at 20-5 and 7-3 in the Atlantic Conference there, and Fordham at 6-19 and 2-8 in the A-10 as well. Again, we look at a game by the numbers here. That on paper, it looks like Butler's got a pretty good win, obviously. But Butler couldn't overcome a starting center, Andrew Smith, absent last time. But there's been a rumor anyway that he'll return sooner than expected. So the Butler game, any thoughts on that?
Butler has lost some interesting games this year. But they've also won some incredible games. I was watching the Gonzaga game that they won on a last-minute shot. I watched the IU game that they won on a last-minute shot. They fight so hard, and they're so well-coached. And if their center returns, this is going to be a no-brainer. However, if he doesn't play, it's going to be a struggle, but I still think that they win. I love Baylor. I love that they're so well-coached. They play as a team. They do most everything right. I mean, the Gonzaga game they won. They play against 2 7-footers and a great point guard that can shoot. I think that win was just a quality win all around. And I think that they easily win today with or without their center. And without, it might be a little more of a struggle, but they're going to win.
Well, now we move on over again to the Big East. And we look at number 16, Pitt. Pittsburgh, 20-5-8-4 in the Big East. Take on Coach Green's old team. Number 18, Marquette, 17-6-8-3 in the Big East as well. Now, this could be a good sleeper game for you to watch. And what I don't mean by that is you don't watch the game and fall asleep. This this could actually be a game that actually has a lot of action in it, and I think could really be a big Big East matchup. Since their last facing Marquette over a month ago, Pittsburgh has turned into one of the hottest teams in the Big East. So this should be a very, very good game. It has the makings of a huge, huge divisional battle, if you will, for what we would call superiority in the Big East.
I think that this is my game to watch today. I would like to watch this game more than anything. I think it's going to be fantastic. I think that both teams compete on a really high level, and they play both very strong physical basketball. This might be the game to watch today. It's one of those sleeper games, you're right, but I think that this could be the game of the day. It could come down to the wire. Both teams are really great.
All right, let's move on over to the Big 12 again. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, two of your favorite teams to talk about.
Absolutely.
And we look at this matchup, and again, 16-7 for Oklahoma, 7-4 in the Big 12, and then Oklahoma State 18-5 and 8-3 in the Big 12 as well. So let's talk about this. I'll turn this over to you. Oklahoma State, let a rip there, Preston.
First of all, will someone tell me who Markell Brown is? Because this man has been tearing up the basketball floor for the past three games. When he came into Allen Fieldhouse for their upset here for Oklahoma State, he shot 7-for-10 from three-point range and scored 27 points in the first half. And he did the exact same thing when they played their last game. And he's not even their go-to scorer. LeBrian Nash is, who some people would say is a lottery pick. And they have an incredibly active point guard in Marcus Smart, who rebounds the ball almost better than any point guard in the NCAA right now, and who can score basically at will. He's a fantastic ball player. And that's Oklahoma State, and I think that they deserve their ranking right now. I think that they should have continued to be ranked. However, Oklahoma, I've never seen a team jump shoot quite as well as Oklahoma when they beat my Jayhawks. They just played really solid basketball, and they jump shot the lights out. They play so well. They shot off down screens. They shot off open shots, good looks. They shot well from three-point range. Romero Osby is an awesome scorer. He's just really fun to watch. But I think, where are they playing this? They're playing in Stillwater or Norman? Do you know?
They are playing in... See, you threw a curveball at me. I was going on over to the next game. Now I got to go back here. I got it here. Hold on here, just a second. They are playing at They're playing at Oklahoma State. They're playing at Oklahoma State.
Okay, yeah. Then this is going to be an awesome game. I think that this is a toss-up. I believe, man, you're making me make a tough choice. I think Oklahoma State will win. It's going to be an awesome rivalry game. They always fight hard to win the state of Oklahoma and be the better team. But Oklahoma has followed their scouting reports fantastically this semester, and they gave us a run for their money the first time they were in Allen Fieldhouse, and then again in Norman when we played them. They were so good, and I think they're one of the better teams in the Big 12 this year. But it should be an awesome game. Oklahoma State buys. Five is my guess.
Oklahoma State by five?
That's my prediction.
All right. Well, I tell you, I think Oklahoma will win this game. I think it's going to be a tough game. This could even be one of those overtime games. I tell you what, we're going to move on over to our next game, and then we got to take a break here. Yeah, but also joining us is Mr. $2 Bill. Josh. Josh, are you with us, sir? Josh? Okay.
Yes, maybe how are you this morning, Tom?
I'm here, Josh. All right. Well, we're talking, you know, I want to talk about this one more game, and then we got to take a break. Notre Dame and Providence. I tell you what, two of the most important people on this two-game road trip for Notre Dame, maybe the chiropractor and the massage therapist that Coach Mike Bray says he's taking along with him. Holy cow. Holy shnikes. Did you see that Notre Dame game? What was that? Like, how many? Was it nine overtimes? I lost count. I think it was 11 overtimes? I don't know. Every game Notre Dame have won here really here recently have been in overtime situations. And did you see that game? I don't know how many overtimes it was. I lost track, dude. It was incredible. Preston?
I was four. That's a question. I don't really know. It was a lot of overtimes, and it was quite ridiculous. It was an incredibly awesome game. What is it? Three Irishmen fouled out within the overtimes, and Peyton Steve eventually fouled out. Shane Mahanan fouled out, I think, and or Georgia Dang fouled out. Mahanan didn't, but like they lost almost all of their starting lineup. Both teams did, but somehow they continued to battle at such an even pace, and it went into four overtimes. That game was so much fun to watch.
It was actually
I loved
five.
It.
It was actually five overtimes, and
it was five.
Just five. Yeah. Coach Bray said, "You do Saturday. We did five overtimes. Overtime Wednesday, and then we go Saturday, Monday on the road." Too Bray said, "That's got to wear down on a team, especially going against a pretty good Providence team today." Josh, what are your thoughts on Notre Dame and Providence?
I actually think Providence is going to wipe the floor with Notre Dame, and here's why I say that. Now, most teams I've not associated with IU or to Purdue basketball teams directly might actually take a massage therapist on the road with them and a chiropractor or Coach Bray. You just made your team sound soft. So if I'm Providence or any other team, I'm saying, okay, here comes Notre Dame. Should we put Lazy Boys in the locker room? Because they sound kind of soft.
I don't know. Preston, what are your thoughts?
I think that Notre Dame is going to win this game. However, they're going to win it at a lazy, slow, grinding pace because they are, like he just said, soft. And they're worn out. When you play 1 3/4 games for one game, for one W, you are going to be very tired. And when you play against a team like Louisville for that long, you're going to get ran and ran and ran and beat up the entire time. So I think Notre Dame is going to be exhausted this game. However, they're going to pull up a W at a snail pace. They're just going to be exhausted.
All right. On that note, we're going to take a break. And we get back. Are you going to stick around with us there, Preston? We have a few more college games I want to get to, but we're going to get into some baseball talk, spring training, Citrus League, and maybe throw in a little Cactus League as well. Are you going to be able to stay around with us?
Unfortunately, I'm not. I just showed up at work, and I got to work my shift for 3 hours before the game.
Well, man, I'm sorry you're missing college game day out there at Kansas Jayhawk Nation. But I tell
Darn
you what,
shame.
We'll be rooting for the Jayhawks. I like the Jayhawks, just unless they're playing IU in the tournament, which could be a very good possibility. So
I would be so happy. I would not be sad either way. I would be so happy if either team won.
You're gonna paint your face half red and half gold, or?
Yep, exactly.
All right, Preston Barr, pleasure to talk with you. Where can people follow you, stalk you, or just annoy you?
You can stalk me on Facebook, annoy me on Facebook, annoy me about calling me. Yeah, of course, anywhere.
All right, Preston Barr, you're always welcome here. Preston Barr helping us break down college hoops this week. We got just one or two more games to talk about, and then we're going to get into some Major League Baseball talk, my friends. That's right. Spring training is underway, and we're going to be talking about that and why we think about the Irish getting massage therapists. And I'm gonna hire one to go along with me. We'll be right back.
The University of Notre Dame proudly presents its marching band, the Band of the Fighting Irish.
Tom Marcus with the Gary Snyder Show in the Balance, talking to Tyler Hansbrough, Indiana Pacers.
Good game tonight.
Yeah, it was good.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana Water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Welcome back to the Ballast, the final hour. Part two is here. And so glad that you guys have stuck around with us. It's been kind of a rough morning, but I think we've got everything underway. Sometimes Skype just gets a mind all of its own. We had to reboot the system there with Cliff. But that's all good, and thanks, Cliff. We're hanging with us, Cliff Tanner of Radio Speed Talk, breaking down a lot of things that are going on in the NHRA, talking about what's going on out there at Pomona. Obviously, they've got their season underway, and right around the corner is NASCAR, that Daytona 500. And then we're just gearing up and building up for the Indianapolis 500 right here in Indianapolis. We cannot wait for the month of May. And I tell you what, we're going to be out, and the Balance is going to be providing track reports to radio stations all over, for that matter. But we're going to be out there, boots on the ground, and we're going to be doing press conferences, and we're going to be doing two reports a day. So check your affiliate radio stations on when that might be. And, of course, you'll hear it right here on the Balance Radio Network two times a day. We're going to be bringing you the track report as well. And adding to the family of websites that we have here at The Balance, we've got Indy Pro Sports, the balanceonline.com, and we've got a brand new website that we're getting ready to launch, and you're just going to want to stay to that. And you're going to be able to follow everything that's going on in the month of May, all the sound bites and stuff that we do, all the photographs that we take, all the events surrounding the Indianapolis 500, the parade, the mini, anything that is associated with the month of May, where to stay at, where to eat at, all of that stuff you'll be able to find right there on that website, and we're getting ready to launch that and very excited to do that as well. Well, kicking off hour number two with us is Mr. $2 Bill. Josh, are you with us, sir?
I'm here. How is everyone this morning?
Fantastic, brother. You sound like you're in a cave.
No, I'm sorry. I was trying to get my new Windows smartphone figured out.
What a time to figure it out when you're on the air with us, buddy. No, I'm just giving you a hard time. All right. We got just a couple more games in today's game. Obviously, we talked about Notre Dame and Providence. I want to move on over there to Memphis. Memphis 21-3, 10-0 in their division, and they're taking on a very good Marshall team. And you look at Memphis, and they are a very good team, especially when you look at March. Again, we look at teams that and not only how they're doing now, but how they historically have done in the past in March. And obviously, the Tigers are a fantastic team. But I got to tell you, this Marshall Thundering Herd really is beginning to make their thunder heard for sure. And I look for this to be a very good game, and it certainly could be another one of those sleeper games that we were talking about as well. Because you look at the average points that Memphis puts up, an average point of 75 points. Marshall puts up an average point of 68.5 points. But here's the thing. Their home record is 14-1, and Marshall's is 10-3. But Memphis has got a great road record at 6-0. So they're certainly currently on a 15-game winning streak. But Marshall also is got their own little winning streak of winning one. Now they're in a streak. But, you know, on paper, you might say that Marshall, there's no way that they can beat the Memphis Tigers. But I'm going to tell you what, this could be one of those sleeper games, those sleeper upset games, that if we were in March, it would be a bracket buster. Josh?
I would agree with that. It should be a pretty good game. I think Memphis will ultimately win, although I don't really see either team doing too terribly much in March Madness this year. I think we're starting to see a little separation in the top 32 and the bottom 32, and unfortunately for both those teams, I put them in the bottom 32, but hey, it's college basketball. Weird things have happened. Butler and VCU both made it to the Final Four. George Mason's made it. Anything can happen on any given day in college basketball.
Well, absolutely, and especially the closer you get to March, anything can happen. Well, our last game we want to jump into today is the Oregon game against Washington State. Oregon coming in at 20-5 and 9-3 in the Pac-12, and 11-14, and Washington State is 11-14 and 2-12 in the Pac-12. Now let's talk about that game a little bit, Josh. The Ducks, the Mighty Ducks. You look at this on paper again. Looks like they pretty much dominate this, but Washington State is another one of those teams that could just be annoying enough to cause you to have a loss that you've got to contend with later on when it comes to forming your brackets or your rankings. This could be one of those teams that could really hurt Oregon in the big picture. Josh?
Well, yes, if you look at Oregon's losses on the season, they've all come against teams with average to better than average defenses, and Washington State has a solid, not spectacular defense. If they can slow down the Oregon fast-paced attack, they should have a chance in this game. However, I think Oregon's going to win this game by 20 points, as I believe Oregon's the class of the Pac-12.
Well, absolutely, and I wish we had more time to talk about all the rest of the games that are going on. Obviously, you know, we just don't have time. We just don't have time, brother. We don't have time because you know why? Because it's baseball time. That's why. It's baseball time.
Will you keep quiet, Sebastian?
Excuse me, please.
Sebastian, please. Don't interrupt my act. Sebastian!
Oh, Mr. Borges, I didn't see the lights there. I forgot about them.
What in the world are you doing?
Why interrupt my act like this? Well, look, Mr. Borges, I mean, after all, if you're in a ballpark, they always sell peanuts and popcorns and things like that.
I know that, Sebastian, but not in front of them. I beg your pardon, Frank.
Ladies and gentlemen, and also the children, will you excuse me for a minute, please?
Thank you. What do you want to do?
Look, Mr. Borges.
Right. What are you doing?
I love baseball.
Well, we all love baseball.
When we get to St. Louis, will you tell me the guys' names on the team so I go to see them in that St. Louis ballpark? I'll be able to know those fellas.
Well, now, it's all right, folks. All right.
Excuse me, I want to find out the fellas' names.
As long as it's okay with you.
I'm crazy about baseball.
Will you stand still? Pick up your hat. Go pick up your hat.
Okay.
Now, look. Then you'll go and peddle your popcorn and don't interrupt the act anymore?
Yes, sir.
All right. But you know, strange may seem they give ball players nowadays very peculiar names.
Funny names?
Nicknames, pet names.
Not as funny as my name, Sebastian Dinwiddie.
Oh, yes.
Funnier than that?
Oh, absolutely. Whee! Yes. Now, on the St. Louis team, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out. I want you to tell me the names of the fellas on the St. Louis team.
I'm telling you, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Do you know the fellas' names?
Yes.
Well, then who's playing first?
Yes.
I mean the fellas' name on first base.
Who?
The fellow playing first base for St.
All right, the old bit from Abbott and Costello. Who's on first? I tell you what, we've got time to go and listen to that whole thing. It just goes on and on and on. Who's on first? What's on second? But, you know, we're getting geared up, and I guess that's why that was an appropriate thing to play as we get geared up for spring training, and we bounce over to the Citrus League as well. So here we go, Josh, $2 bill. Josh, let's break down the Citrus League in spring training. What's going on, my friend?
Well, it should be an exciting year in the Citrus League. I'm sorry, I was prepared to talk about the Cactus League today, but we've talked about the Citrus League.
Well, we're going to get to the Cactus League, but we were at the Cactus League last week. Did I tell you the Cactus League?
You told me to get ready for the Cactus League. But anyway, this is live radio. We're going to make do with what we have to make do with.
We're going to make it work.
Well, you know, as always in the Citrus League, you have the Boston Red Sox, the New York Yankees, the New York Mets. I believe the St. Louis Cardinals are in the Cactus League, not the Citrus League.
No, they're in the Citrus League. They're in the Grapefruit League. Don't mess with my Cardinals, man.
So you have some storied franchises in the Citrus League. You got the Red Sox coming off the 69 and 93 season last year under the first-year manager John Farrell, who, if you haven't got to listen to his speech, got me fired up, makes me want to go hit some home runs. Go to RedSox.com and listen to John Farrell's speech to open spring training. He makes Bobby Knight look kind of mild manner based on that speech and other radio interviews he's had. You have the New York Yankees, who are absolutely collapsing. They're older than dirt. They're old enough they make Tom look young. Just kidding.
Well, I tell you what, let's just take a look at some of these teams here in the we call it the Citrus League. Some people call it the Grapefruit League. I think maybe that might be the official name of it, the Grapefruit League. But either which way, when we talk about the Cactus League and the Citrus League, really what that is a designation of the West and the Florida. The teams either usually go to Arizona or that area for spring training, or they go down to Florida. And you look at the Cubs going over to Arizona and Mesa, Arizona. And you look at, for example, the Cardinals going down to Jupiter, Florida, where they do their spring training. Let's talk about the Atlanta Braves. Obviously, everybody likes to talk about the Braves. And I tell you what, they have a great season this year. And I think, you know, we look at, and I think, Josh, you and I have talked about this before, the Atlanta Braves really could put together a good season. But, you know, we look at things this early in the season, and I do want to overemphasize this, that it is still very early in the season, and we don't know. But when you look at the paper with the Atlanta Braves, Atlanta Braves have a very, very good shot of getting – out there to the World Series. And, you know, they really are the team to watch this year. Josh?
I do agree the Atlanta Braves may be the team to watch for only the fourth time in Major League Baseball history, the first time in modern baseball history. Well, I guess if you want to go back to the late 90s, you consider that modern. That's a little older for me. You have Justin Upton and B.J. Upton, two brothers playing in the Atlanta Braves outfield. You got some solid pitching, and they got some just overall solid young team. But there's a catch.
you know, Tom, we both have brothers. You know, sometimes brothers are getting along, and I'm sure when the Uptons are both doing good, it's going to be good for the Braves. What happens if both Uptons get into hitting slump, or if they move BJ down and put Justin in his place? What happens if they start to get a little brotherly feud going on? Is there potential that a brother-brother conflict could derail the Atlanta Braves, and is that the reason no other team dared to try to put two brothers in the same lineup?
It's going to be history, and I'm very interested to see how that's going to all pan out. But you know, we'll see how things are going as well. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the Citrus League, and we want to move through these teams here because there's just so many teams to get through. If you look at the Toronto Blue Jays, and here's the thing about Toronto. What a great team they are. What a great baseball city they are. They really have I love to watch them. They're really my favorite Canadian team. But, you know, that old saying, you know, my favorite for those of you that know, that's like the only Canadian team now. So go ahead, Josh, the Toronto Blue Jays.
Well, the Toronto Blue Jays are stacked both with former Indianapolis Indians and just all-stars everywhere. As they kind of raided Miami, said, we'll take him and the Marlins. Go, okay, you can have them. They got Josh Johnson and R.A. Dickey and Mark Burley. So that's a solid 1-2-3 pitching combination. They have Edwin Encarnacion. And I know I should know this guy's name. I know he hits 50 home runs every year for the Toronto Blue Jays. For the life of me, I cannot remember his name right now. But I look for him to have another
Ricky
good
Romeo?
Year.
Are you talking about Ricky Romario? Romeo?
There you go.
Yeah. Romario? Anyway, go ahead. Baseball players are names are sometimes about as hard to pronounce as IndyCar drivers and hockey players.
Another thing to keep an eye on in Toronto is everybody remembers Melky Cabrera was having an National League MVP-type season when he got suspended last year. As a member of the San Francisco Giants, were using performance-enhancing steroids, drugs, deer antlers, bat blood, whatever it is he was doing. He's now in Toronto. Is he going to get suspended again? And is he going to be randomly drug tested, or is he going to be, here's your cup on a daily basis?
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours.
See, I'm just not allowed to push buttons there, Josh. Sorry about that. You know, I don't know. I think that's just something that's going to put come together. But I think they're going to have to definitely test him, that's for sure. Let's go on down the league of the Citrus League here. We want to get some more teams in here. We'll get on over there to the Cactus League that you prepared so well for there, Josh. I can't wait to hear your Cactus League report. The Detroit Tigers, they have what it takes to make it back to the World Series.
I do believe they have what it takes to make it back to the World Series. They've added Vladimir Guerrero and a couple other small pieces, and they're a really hungry team. As everybody thought they were going to win the World Series last year, and they went into the World Series, and they kind of got beat up on by the National League Giants for the second straight year that the National League has won the World Series. I'm an American League fan. That needs to end.
It needs to end that you're an American League fan?
Now the American League needs to end the National League's dominance in the World Series.
All right, without further ado, because it's my show, and I dictate the teams that we're going to talk about, my team, the St. Louis Cardinals. Do the St. Louis Cardinals. Man, I tell you what, obviously it came down to a nail-biter in the rain in San Francisco to make a trip to the World Series this year. I think St. Louis has got a lot of good opportunities. I think they've got their pitching in order. St. Louis, as they prepare down in Jupiter, Florida for another great season. Josh, St. Louis Cardinals this year?
Well, it'll be hard for the Cardinals. As you know, their all-star pitcher, Chris Carpenter, is out for the entire season. Mm-hmm. Somebody I want to keep an eye on during spring training, and I know Tom, like myself, watches all the spring training baseball he can, as rookie right-hand pitcher Shelby Miller, the door is wide open for him to take Chris Carpenter's spot in the St. Louis Cardinals rotation. He has a high 90s fastball. I have not been able to find evidence that he can hit 100 miles per hour with this fastball. He's supposed to have a devastating curve. So the question is, will Shelby Miller step up and fill the spot, or will it go to a veteran that gets cut by another team?
It's a good question, and that's a question that I think that I like Shelby. I really do. I think that there's where you got to look at it. Here's the thing, though. I think we've got to look at what happens in the spring training games as far as what they do. And they might even actually be looking at moving some people up from the farm system, from the Springfield Cardinals, their AAA affiliate team. So, but I like Shelby. I think you're right on that.
And then another team we can't get out of the Citrus League without talking about because they're very dear to the Bounce and Indy Pro Sports, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Absolutely.
I think they're spring training home in the Citrus League.
Absolutely.
And they have 7 top 100 prospects who I project will be in training camp with spring training with the Pirates and will end up in Indianapolis. That's right. 7 of the top 100 minor league baseball players will be at the AAA level this year at the Pirates / Indians. So they should have a good year. And I'm going to predict the Pirates win the division.
Well, here's the thing, and we look at the Indianapolis Indians, and the Indianapolis Indians here in Indianapolis, and we follow them a lot here on The Balance, and we cover them very extensively over on Indy Pro Sports. The Indianapolis Indians, AAA affiliate for the Pittsburgh Pirates, you're right, Josh, are stacked, and every year seem to do well. So that tells us that the Pittsburgh Pirates has great players moving up through the ranks, but it seems like once they get out to Pittsburgh, I don't know what's going on there. Pittsburgh seems to have a good season midway through. And then you get past the All-Star break, and the Pirates invariably fall apart somehow, some way. So you say they're going to win the division this year. Obviously, they're going to have a better second-half season than they have been able to do in the years past.
Yes, that's a fair point. They're going to have to have a better second half of the season. And here's what I think it is. Clint Hurdle's a great manager. I've gotten to know several of the Pirates. You know, they've either started their careers here, came back to an injury rehab assignment. Tom, have you ever done something and been unsuccessful at it for so long that it starts to become a mental thing? I think that's what it is for the Pirates. They've had so many losing years. They look down in July. They see they have a winning record. And maybe the pressure's just too much and they fold, and that's the reason they don't end up with a winning record.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that I have going on with this radio show sometimes. I just keep failing and failing. No, I'm just kidding. This is the best show on the radio right now, dude. You're not going to find a better show around than right here. You know, El Presidente and myself and $2 Bill Josh breaking down some baseball for you. Guys, we're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to hear Josh's very well-prepared cactus report. So you don't want to miss this. It could get a little prickly around here. We'll be right back. Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan. The Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. March, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
We'll be right back.
my minions. Welcome back to the final half hour of The Balance today. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Myself and $2 Bill Josh are breaking down. Spring training, guys, we're getting ready for some great baseball as we love to cover baseball. One of our favorite things to talk about here on The Balance is baseball. Certainly my favorite sport of all time as far as being a fan of sports. And obviously we cover it all here on The Balance, but we always enjoy talking about baseball and spring training. Well, Mr. Josh, $2 Bill Josh, we've teased it enough. $2 Bill Josh and your Cactus Report. Go ahead, sir.
Well, we're going to make four stops around the Cactus League. We're going to talk about the Dodgers, the Angels, the Diamondbacks, and for a very good friend of The Balance and in pro sports, every time we talk about baseball this year, we're going to talk about the Chicago Cubs for one Mr. Brian Bosma.
Or the LA Dodgers for one Mark Timmons. While we're name dropping there, but go ahead.
Let's start with the Dodgers. Let's go backtrack 12 months ago. Everybody saw Magic Johnson, a whole bunch of investors, bought the Dodgers for, I believe it was $2 billion. Dodgers weren't very good. The courts just went through a divorce. He said, she said. The Dodgers all said, we don't really care about the slate baseball. They made several trades last year. They acquired Hanley Ramirez and Adrian Gonzalez and Carl Crawford and Josh Beckett. And then this offseason, the Dodgers spent money here, spent money there. Tom, they're going into this season with a major league record, $225 million payroll, a quarter of a $1 billion payroll. That raises two questions. Can the Dodgers, with all those MVP Cy Young Award candidates, gel as a team? You've seen it work both ways in New York, Boston, and with the Mets primarily, as they're the teams that tend to spend the most money. You have a team and a collection of superstars, you know, such as Gonzo and Hanley Ramirez. Can they gel together, or are they going to get jealous? But the player I'm most looking forward to watching the spring training this year for the Dodgers, Adrian Gonzalez. He was an MVP candidate when he was with San Diego. He's hit 40, 50 home runs a year. He went to Boston. He just wasn't very good. He kind of stuck to join up. He hit more doubles than he did home runs. So my question to you, Tom, do you think Adrian Gonzalez can get it going this year?
No. Absolutely not. I think Adrian Gonzalez is entirely overrated. I don't really think that I don't think he's all that. I've still not sold out to him. What's all the hype with Adrian Gonzalez? Really, break it down for me. Why all the hype about him?
Well, when he was in San Diego, they have the most shallow outfield in all of Major League Baseball, so he was able to hit a lot of home runs based on the short outfield. But you put him in Fenway Park, and anybody who watches baseball knows Fenway Park is known as a hitter's ballpark, and he kind of hit home runs in Fenway Park. I doubt he can hit him in the monster that is Dodger Stadium.
Well, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. I don't see all the hype with him. And, you know, we're going to get into a lot of Dodger talk. What a great season, though, that the L.A. Dodgers had last year. I mean, really, considering everything that they went through to come out in with just mere games of winning it all. Really had a great season overall. And you can maybe compare it to a team like the Colts, who had so much going against them that really turned out to have a fairly attractive season. And, you know, I do want to make sure that Dodger fans especially, you take some time to go over to L.A. Dodger Talk and look at what they're talking about over there at the Dodgers. Obviously, we have Mark Timmons from L.A. Dodger Talk on quite frequently here on the show. And Certainly, we cover a lot of the Dodgers here on the show. We'll follow them throughout the season. But I don't see all the hype with Gonzalez at all. All right, let's go on down through the Cactus League and let's talk about the Oakland A's. The Oakland A's had a great season last year as well. Do they have what it takes to do well over there this year out there in Oakland?
I do believe the Oakland A's have what it takes to be competitive this year. I don't believe they have what it takes to win the division. as the Angels have added Josh Hamilton and a couple other pitchers. The Angels, the A's rather, might be my third favorite baseball team. I'm a Red Sox fan, then the Pirates, but I like the A's. They have a little engine that could. They don't spend a lot of money. They don't have big name players. They don't have anybody that's going to be talked about if the trade deadline is. We have to have, or they're not going to be big buyers at the trade deadline. They're just a little quiet team that's consistent and win. They're almost. You have Butler way in college basketball. You can almost say you have the Oakland A's way in Major League Baseball.
Well, absolutely. I like the A's. And, I again, they're one of my favorite teams out there. You really can't go wrong with the A's. They're always a pretty good and consistent team. You know, Tony La Russa used to – I remember watching the A's back when Tony La Russa used to be the manager of the Oakland A's. I remember Reggie Jackson as well as a big right fielder out there for the A's. That's probably a little bit before your time, though, huh, Josh?
My favorite Oakland A of all time is also my favorite St. Louis Cardinal of all time. I'm a big Maurice McGuire fan. Yes, I know he got involved in. You remember what?
You want to look at his Oakland A days, and that's a good point. You want to look at the. I love Mark McGuire. I still like Mark McGuire. But the thing is, he got all messed up. But when you look at the baseball card pictures of him when he was with the A's. And you look at where he's at now. I mean, come on, it's pretty obvious that the boy was doing steroids. When you look at the two pictures, you put them side by side. All right, well, let's move on again over to another team out there on the West Coast. I tell you what, Seattle is the team to look for out there in the National League this year. And I really believe that Seattle, you look at some sleeper teams, and you mark this down. I said it right here on February 16th, 2013. Seattle has a very good chance, if not the chance, to win the title and possibly represent the National League in the World Series. Josh?
Well, if they're going to represent the National League, that means there's going to be a huge press conference in the Major League Baseball office announcing they're leaving the American League.
I meant to say American League. I apologize, American League. It's been one of those days, brother. But, yeah, you're right. It would be a huge, huge conference. You know what I mean? Seattle, American League, Seattle does get to the World Series.
I could see it. They do have Felix Hernandez, who just signed a 7-year, $175 million contract. And this offseason, they've added some veterans in Michael Morris, Kendrys Morales, and Raul Abanez, who should improve their American League WAR's .224 batting average from last year. The Mariner I'm most excited to see is rookie left-hander Danny Hilston. He can top 100 miles per hour easily. The question is, do they want to make him a ninth-inning shutdown guy, kind of like the Reds have made with the Cuban Missile or Aroldis Chapman? Do they want to try to see if they can get a coke 6 or 7 innings a night out of him and put him in the rotation? As always, it should be an exciting season in Seattle. And, Tom, I want to get your thought on the Mariners moving their outfield wall closer to home plate. Most teams move it farther away. They moved it farther in.
Are you talking about Seattle or are you just talking about in general?
No, in Seattle, they actually moved their outfield wall like 10 feet closer to home plate.
Yeah, they did do that. And I really don't know the logic behind that. You're right. Most fields are moving it outward, and why they moved it inward, I still haven't figured that one out yet. So we'll follow that and monitor that throughout the thing. Our other L.A. team that we like out there in the Cactus League as well is the L.A. Angels. And I'm a fan of the L.A. Angels by association only, and that's because Albert Pujols decided that that's where he'd rather play than the St. Louis Cardinals. And as much as I really don't think that he should have ever left the Cardinals, he needed to be a designated hitter. I guess you could say that that's where sluggers go to out to pasture, if you will. Where sluggers go to die is the American League, so they become designated hitters. You know, I mean, you look at Prince Fielder, obviously, that was to his benefit going over to the Tigers, but you know, L.A. Angels out there in the other L.A. team, obviously. We don't cover them quite as much as we do the Dodgers. And maybe we need to cover the American League more so that I know who's in the American League and who's not. But the L.A. Angels, Josh?
Well, the L.A. Angels got a lot better this year. And being in the American League, I'm very familiar with them. They had Mike Trout, who last year at the age of 20 put up Hall of Fame-type numbers, won the American League Rookie of the Year. I believe he finished second. He might have won the American League MVP. Although in baseball, the MVP is really the most talked-about award, but I think it's the least important award. They added Josh Hamilton from the Texas Rangers, which was a two-sided sword for the Rangers. It made the Angels phenomenal because he's got a big bat. He hits for average. He's got a great glove. He'll hit a lot of home runs. He can steal some bases. And it took a dangerous weapon out of the Texas Rangers lineup. But on the other hand, this is L.A. This is a city of angels. There's nightclubs, bars, drugs, everywhere you can go. You hear about actors, rock stars, politicians, athletes getting involved in drugs, alcohol, the sex lifestyle, all that in L.A. Tom, isn't this the same Josh Hamilton who has already been banned from Major League Baseball for 2 years due to drugs?
I know it's an issue, and you know, certainly not an issue that we have time to really digest and talk about because we only got 10 minutes left of the show. But, yeah, well, we certainly will circle back on that and talk about that. Let's get down to our next team, the San Diego Padres. I know for a fact they're in the National League because they are a thorn in my shorts. San Diego Padres, Josh.
The San Diego Padres really didn't do much in the offseason. They're probably going to finish fifth in the National League West. They're just a really young ball club that needs time to develop. And Bud Black, I believe he's still their manager, is known for developing players. So I think they might go 70-92 this year.
Well, you know, they certainly have caused us problems in the past, that's for sure. Well, joining us now, Mr. Gene Walker of Indiana Talks. How are you doing, sir?
Doing fine. How are you doing?
Fantastic, sir. So glad that you could join us. We're talking a little bit more about the Cactus League. And really, you know, we're just going to let you talk about whatever you want to talk about too, buddy. Because I know that you for some reason, I think I told you and I told Josh, but in my show prep, I did completely different. I did the Citrus League because we talked about the Cactus League last week. So I don't know if I told you the Cactus League or the Citrus League, but I think I must have told you the Cactus League. I mean the Citrus League because you sent me a text on the Yankees in Toronto and Pittsburgh. So we're just kind of bouncing around here. So I don't want to throw you any curveballs, so I wanted to tell you that in the forefront. But our next team here that we're in is in the Cactus League, and then certainly, Gene, if you want to give us the Citrus League report, you're more than welcome to do that as well. But San Francisco Giants, again, a thorn in my shorts last year. Being a Cardinal fan that I am, does Gene, we'll start with you. Does the San Francisco Giants have what it takes to get to the World Series? Wouldn't that be something if San Francisco gets back to the World Series in the same year that the San Francisco 49ers get to the Super Bowl? Gene?
Well, I imagine if the guys like Buster Posey and Pagan and have the kind of year that they had offensively, and certainly I think Pagan's defense was just, I guess, vastly overlooked in a way. We were talking about the San Francisco Giants this year. They were talking more about the pitching, which was probably a rightful comment. Pitching is why they got there. But I thought Pagan was probably one of the best defensive fielders in all of baseball, if not the best one, if nothing else for just game-saving catches that he made throughout the year. I like Buster Posey a lot. I thought Posey at the beginning of the year was struggling a little bit, but how consistent are you to be hitting over 300 to playing and calling the kind of game that he's calling behind the plate? Could they get back? Of course they could get back. Are they going to get back? More than likely they will, because, again, if your pitching's healthy and if you're just playing smart baseball, that's how you get through on a consistent stretch. There's not a lot of power hitters there. They're not going yard a bunch, but they don't need to. 94-68, fantastic record. I like the Giants' chances. Why wouldn't I?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Where did you come from again?
What's that?
Aren't you from out there in California, or did I have that wrong?
I lived out in L.A. for about 12 years.
Oh, okay. Well, we just jumped into the L.A. Angels conversation as well. And are you a Dodger guy or an Angel guy? I know you're a Cubs guy, but I mean.
Yeah, Cubs guy.
All right, Josh, $2 bill, Josh. And I know that we didn't get a chance to talk about the Yankees, and I know you have some stuff on the Yankees, and I know that that's a thorn in Josh's side. So, Josh, the New York Yankees, yes, I know it's over in the Citrus League. New York Yankees getting ready for the 2013 season. What do they got to do? Obviously, every year the Yankees are the Yankees, and the Yankees make it happen. So are the Yankees a team to contend with here in 2013, Josh?
I'm going to say absolutely not. As Derek Jeter is injured and will miss some time. Alex Rodriguez hasn't been released by the New York Yankees yet, but I imagine he soon will be. But the biggest hurdle the New York Yankees have this year is the AARP has already set up a permanent office in Yankee Stadium, as they are by far the oldest team in Major League Baseball this year. And I tried to see if they're the oldest baseball team roster, average age of all time. I was not able to find that out conclusively, but they're really old, and I just don't think they can keep up with Toronto, who's really young and dominant, Baltimore, who's really young, and the Red Sox are still a couple years away. But I just don't think the Yankees can finish any better than third in that division. And as far as can the Giants make the World Series, I'm going to say yes, although they did just lose Brian Wilson, their closer known for his famous beard, at the end of last season. So they have to find a closer to finish games for them in order for them to get there.
All right, Gene, the New York Yankees. Obviously, as we talk about every year, the Yankees are the Yankees, and every year they find a way to make it happen. I don't know that this year's any different, but what are your thoughts on the 2013 New York Yankees?
Yeah, it is different this year. Francisco Cervelli on the list, and that list is going to be investigated. And A-Rod is right there with them. A-Rod was going to be out for a while anyway. Does Euclid provide the bat that A-Rod provides? No, he doesn't. Now, you could say with an injured A-Rod he does, but that's not saying much. I like Euclid as a $12 million one-year pick to a point, but you're also factoring in that the Mountaineer, Mr. Nick Swisher, is gone. A lot of people were critical of him. As Yankee fans, but that's because they're spoiled. If you're not hitting .375 throughout the year, everybody's going to have something to boo about. The fact of the matter is, Swisher was a pretty good player for them. So the question remains now, are the Yankees going to be a small ball team? Because that's literally what they're looking at right now. They're looking at a lineup that suggests they're going to have to steal the base paths, they're going to have to keep the ball moving, and they're going to have to play small baseball. And I've never seen the Yankees do that, have you?
To play small baseball? No, ever. I've never seen them do that at all. So, you know, I don't know. I don't really like the Yankees. I hope they have a terrible season, and I'll go on record and say I hope they have the worst season ever. I absolutely hate the Yankees. The only thing that the Yankees, in my opinion, has ever done, and that's just because I love baseball so much, has had Babe Ruth. I am not a Yankees fan, so... Was that a little too harsh, Gene? Should I have been a little bit softer on him?
Well, I mean, the Yankees certainly have been the crown jewel of baseball. And to say that, you know, even though I'm not a Yankee fan either, you can't discard almost any title. This was a owner that wanted to win, and he was one of the first owners that really wanted to win in sports, so much to the point that he made it happen literally out of a bank account and out of just, you know, hard work and effort. So I can't discredit what the Yankees have done, nor would I. But they are an evil empire team, that's for sure. I think the Cowboys and the Lakers all fit into that crown. And this is one team that if you just don't root for them, you loathe them. But I do agree, though, that this is a bad year for them. And if they don't find a way to protect Jeter in the lineup and get the get the production down into the 4-5-6 spot at least. Robinson Cano is a very good player. Granderson's a good player. They've got some top-level 1-4 guys in that lineup that are very good, but it gets real thin before they ever get around to the bottom of the lineup. And if the pitching's been here and there, which it has, this could be a bad year for them.
Well, and let's hope so. So we move on. And, you know, we talked about the Toronto Blue Jays a little bit earlier, but I know that you did some prep on them as well. So Toronto Blue Jays, love them. My favorite Canadian team, that joke never gets old. But the Toronto Blue Jays, great baseball town, and really have a lot of good opportunities. And I like them this year.
Yeah, I mean, you saw a lot of movement up in Toronto early on, and the move for R.A. Dickey was fantastic for these guys. He's going to be a problem up there in a hitting league, the DH and whatever else. Was at about 2.73 ERA coming out of the Mets. Good pickup to them. Jose Reyes, again, another Marlins mishap. You know, over the years, Marlins have made a habit of getting fans behind a certain player and then just dealing them somewhere. So that was a real shocking move that he went north of the border. And Melky Cabrera finding refuge north of the border as well. How long will that suspension last? Will they continue it? Will they redo it? Will they put him out for some time? That's the only question. But the biggest facelift in baseball has been Toronto so far. And with the Yankees kind of falling off the path, who knows what could happen to them. But you've got to remember, too, that the Orioles are no longer the doormat they were. Because I think if the Orioles were still down with the Red Sox struggling, Toronto would be a real serious contender for that division. But with the Orioles and the Rays still pretty tough, they're going to have their hands full. But you might see Toronto in the middle of the pack this year. That's possible. But I think that's as far as they would go for a first year.
Josh, thoughts?
I think the Toronto Blue Jays are going to be the class of the American League East just because of that overall roster, although I do think it's going to be a two-team race with the Tampa Bay trailing just a little behind. Gene, I'm curious, do you think both Baltimore and Toronto could give the American League East 2 100-game winners in the same division?
Gene? Are you with us, Gene?
I am.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Josh. Maybe Gene didn't hear your question. Go ahead.
I was asking, Gene, do you think if Toronto and Baltimore could give the American League East 2 100-win teams?
I'm not so sure about Toronto in that, though. I do think Baltimore has a legitimate chance at that. You saw a couple years ago how Showalter came in and already started redirecting that whole tide before the end of the year, in a year that had already been given up, and he continued it. It wasn't a fluke. We see baseball teams sometimes go on a bit of a run, and that has no significance to the rest of the marathon season that they play. But in Baltimore's case, it did. So does Baltimore get 100 wins? Wouldn't be shocked at all. Does Toronto? I doubt it. I don't think that they have enough behind there to get that. But, hey, look, they could be north of 75, maybe 80 wins. That's possible. And in Toronto, that's a big year.
All right, guys. Well, unfortunately, we've come to the time where we've got to jump into the jungle. So we're going to start with you, Josh. Go ahead. We'll give you 1 minute in the jungle. Go.
Tonight at 8 o'clock, the Sprint Unlimited on Fox as NASCAR officially has the first non-competitive but competitive race of the year. And tomorrow at 1 o'clock is Daytona 500 pole qualifying. Look for Jimmy Johnson and Jeff Gordon to put 200 cars on the front row in the 500.
All right, Gene. Go ahead, sir. Jump in the jungle.
I asked about a week ago, I said, who's the one that cleared Ryan Braun of the Bonkui? And the answer I kept getting consistently was nobody. And I said, what do you mean nobody? And they said, well, there might have been some tampering with this. They weren't sure. And I said, well, what Barry Scheck-like individual is qualified to even make a statement like that? And now the list comes out. Ryan Braun cheated as well as A-Rod. And I think that's going to come out this year, and why shouldn't it? Is baseball ever going to get over its past or its recent past? And the answer for now is no.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for us for today. We're going to be back next week, and we're going to be breaking down more Major League Baseball, college hoops, and racing as well. Didn't really get an opportunity to get into the Dwight Freeney conversation, which I do apologize, and we'll certainly monitor our websites, and we've got a blog up on IndyProSports.com to talk about that very thing. Guys, well, that's going to do it. Don't drink and drive. It isn't cool. We'll catch you guys next week. Have a safe and happy week, and we'll see you all right here on the Balance Radio Network next Saturday morning as we break down a full balance of sports right here for you.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.